So, Father, we do ask that you speak to us your words of eternal life and challenge us as how we should live as your people. Amen. So Mark, could you just pop the light on? I remember having a conversation a long time ago with a flatmate, and he said, "I don't go around mugging old ladies." That's what he said. You might think it's a rather odd thing to say, so let me give you the context. We were talking about what Christians believe one evening, and I explained that according to the Bible, we're all sinners. That means we all do wrong things. And the only thing that can save us is Jesus. He came into the world to die for the sins of the world so that we might be forgiven. On hearing this, my flatmate Ian looked at me. "Oh, come off it, Peter, that's ridiculous. I don't sin." I said, "Ian, we all sin. We all do wrong things. We can't help it." "Not me. I don't go around mugging old ladies. In fact, I don't do anyone any harm." Just as a matter of interest, I did see my flatmate doing somebody some harm a few weeks later as he was insulting them in a pub. But that's beside the point. Let's go back to his claim. He said, "I'm not a sinner because I don't harm anyone. I don't actively harm anyone." You can see the logic. The logic is to love my neighbour, I don't go and harm them actively. I don't mug old ladies. In today's gospel reading, though, which was from Luke chapter 10, we meet an expert in the law, and he's a bit like my flatmate, really. Let me just find the page that reading was on. It's useful to have a look at it. Page 1042. The expert in the law thought he was good. He thought he was righteous. And he used this logic. "I'm good enough." It's rather ironic again, because how he is introduced tells us that he is a sinner, because he's trying to trip up Jesus. He's trying to catch him out. But how does Jesus respond to the man's question? He asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so in response, in verse 26, Jesus asks the man a question. He says, "What's written in the law?" The expert in the law gives a very good answer. He knows it all up here in his head. And he says, "Well, love God as much as you can with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And love your neighbour as yourself." Jesus says, "Good answer. Go away, do that, and you will live." Now, what would have been nice is if the expert in the law had then said to Jesus, "You know, I try, but I get it wrong so often. So often I fail to love God. So often I fail to love my neighbour. What can I do?" And Jesus would have said, "Come to me for forgiveness. That's why I came into the world." But the man doesn't do that. He tries to justify himself. We see that in verse 29. And in trying to justify himself, he asks this question: "Who is my neighbour?" And one of the great debates at the time was, who qualifies as my neighbour? And what the Jews like to do is they like to shrink the definition of a neighbour. So instead of the neighbour being everybody, they'd like to say, well, it's only the fellow Jews. One or two of them might said we should love the odd foreigner, but not the Romans, and certainly not those Samaritans. They'd probably spit in the same sentence as saying Samaritans. Samaritans were the lowest of the low. They were enemies of God's people. So the logic being, if a Samaritan is not your neighbour, you don't have to love them. Now that might sound awful, but don't we do the same? Because it's very easy, isn't it, to love those we get on with. It's much harder to love those we find a bit obnoxious, or even just different. And so Jesus sets the challenge with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's a wonderful response. I mean, Jesus could have got into an academic debate about who is my neighbour, and that would have done him no good at all. Instead, he acts pastorally. And by telling this story, he is challenging the expert in the law on two fronts, as we shall see. On the first front, he wants the man to realise that he is a sinner after all. He ain't perfect. Just like the rest of us, he needs Jesus' death to save him as much as anyone else. Secondly, Jesus does want the man to extend, widen his definition of who qualifies as a neighbour. Because he needs to realise, like my flatmate, that true love is to be found in active deeds, not just passive avoidance. We all know and love this famous parable. A man's walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He falls into the hands of robbers. We acted it out earlier, and we had great big inflatables hammering the poor traveller. And his nice coat was stripped off, and they took his money. And then what happens? The man's left injured. More than that, he's been stripped naked. And we get a man coming along who is a priest. And the man ignores him. He does not help. What's going on in the man's head, the priest's head, as he's thinking about this? Perhaps he's thinking, well, if I touch this naked body, I will become ritually unclean and I won't be able to do my temple duties. And if I'm ritually unclean, I won't be close to God. I've got important things to do. I'll ignore the man who has been mugged. Next, we have a Levite, another respectable man of God. And he ignores the injured man. What's going on in his mind? I don't know, but perhaps it's this. I didn't mug him. Therefore, I didn't do any wrong. And I'm busy. I walked past, but I haven't done anything wrong. I didn't mug him. It's easy to think like that, unfortunately. But that is not what love is according to Jesus. The better thing to do would be to act and help him. And the third man, of course, does that. The third man is willing to become unclean for out of love. The third man is willing to miss his appointment, whatever that was, out of love. The third man is willing to bring the injured person on his donkey to the innkeeper, and then he hands over 2 silver coins. Loving one another is costly. Because you see, to love somebody isn't just not hurting them. To truly love someone is to help them when they are in need. When we do our prayers of confession, do notice the next time how it includes deliberate offences and things that we neglect to do. So loving our neighbour is not simply about not mugging them. No, to ignore the pleas of those in need is also a sin. But the shock in the story is, who is it who helps? It's one of those dirty, filthy Samaritans that we all hate. What a challenge Jesus is giving when he says, go and do likewise. So Jesus has 2 reasons in sharing this story with the expert in the law. The first one is to say, just look at how far you fall short of loving your neighbour, because the definition of neighbour needs to be bigger. Realise that you missed the mark. You are a sinner. But the good news is, you can confess your sin to Jesus and everything will be put right. And that's what this story should make us do. It is an impossibly high standard to love God perfectly and to love our neighbour as ourselves. We need to see how far short we fall of God's standards, confess our sins and be restored. That's the message of the gospel. But having had our sins forgiven and being filled with the Holy Spirit, the challenge remains. The last words of Jesus in the episode are, "Go and do likewise." It's a near impossible calling. We will always fall short, but Jesus says, "Go and do likewise. Love even your enemies. Love those strange foreigners. Love those immigrants. Love people unlike us as yourself." That is what Jesus calls us to do. And can you imagine the world if more people acted like this? Think of the world's conflicts. Most of the time there's an ethnic divide, or a political divide, or a religious divide. The division between the Sunni and the Shia Muslims in Iraq, or the Catholic and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. Or just see how bitter the election in America is getting. Well, there was a huge divide that stood between the Jews and the Samaritans. And yet Jesus said, a Samaritan was also a neighbour. And we're to love them as we love ourselves. I wonder if there's someone that you need to be reconciled with this morning. Is there someone you should be showing a generous act of love to? It might be somebody you count as an enemy. Well, we should love them as we love ourselves. It's a tough call, and when we fail, we come to Jesus for forgiveness. And Jesus forgives us, puts us right, and then says, "Go back and love that person." The shoeboxes, and it's marvellous that there's so many of them, are just a small token of love to children far, far away. We'll probably never meet them. And if we did meet them, some of us would think we're a bit strange. But it doesn't matter, we love them. God loves them. The video shows the joy on their faces as they open their presents. Well, we have so much wealth. We live in warm homes. We have plenty to eat. We receive and give presents to each other. It's good that we don't forget our neighbours who live so far away. And let's pray that they have a wonderful Christmas as they open up those boxes. So there we are, two challenges this morning. When we fall short, as we all do, come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. We can never justify ourselves by what we do. And yet, secondly, Jesus still calls us to make the best effort we can. In step with his Spirit, let us go out and proactively love others. It's not good enough just to say, "I don't mug old ladies." We need to go out and positively assist those in need. And Jesus promises us that we can do so in the power of his Spirit. So let's pray. We thank you again for all these shoeboxes, Lord. May they bring joy. And may people far away know of our love. For ourselves, Lord, help us to do a good self-critical examination and realise that we fall short, we do wrong. But as we take communion, we're reminded that you love to forgive and restore us. As restored people, Lord, help us to go out and love others in your name. Even those different from us, even those far away from us. May we do that in your power. Amen.